Right now at 7, people are off to their vacation spots.
It'll be another busy travel weekend here at RDU.
RDU expects to see more than 182,000 total passengers today through Monday, July 4th.
We'll tell you the steps the airport is taking to get people through security even quicker.
However, as people head to the beaches and the mountains, the weather may hamper those plans. Meteorologist Mike Mays times out day by day what you can expect.
More than 182,000 people are expected to pass through Raleigh-Durham International Airport through the 4th of July weekend. Good evening. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Chris Lovingood. In order to get passengers to their destinations, RDU is using new technology to speed up the process of getting through the gate. WRAL's Luke Notestein explains how exactly this all works.
RDU is expecting a massive number of travelers on this 4th of July weekend. Passengers should expect to see some new technology in the security checkpoints that should help them get to their gates much quicker.
Everything stays inside your bag when you send it in.
Gone are the days of removing multiple items like laptops or food from your carry-on luggage.
With the new computed tomography machines, our ask is for you to put everything in your bag.
RDU now has 14 checkpoint lanes with the computed tomography or CT X-ray scanners. This updated technology allows TSA officers to quickly view 3D images of the contents of a bag.
This allows our transportation security officers to have a 360-degree view of the bag.
I think that will definitely help, especially traveling for work, having to take out laptops and things like that, and then having everything for the baby.
RDU expects to see more than 182,000 total passengers today through Monday, July 4th. That number is about 17% higher than the same weekend last year.
Here are some tips to help travelers get to their destinations. Plan for pad time or extra time before and after your flight. Try to depart in the morning. Use the airline app if you need to reschedule your flight. And sign up for TSA PreCheck.
If you don't have TSA PreCheck, it's going to take a long time to get, to your gate or whatever it's called.
It'll self-adjust as it goes in.
Even with the new technology in the security checkpoints, plan ahead so that you can get to your destination on time.
You definitely got to plan how much time you're going to take beforehand.
Luke Notestein, WRAL News, Raleigh.
RDU expects 40,000 travelers today and another 39,000 passengers tomorrow. All right, so for those of you who will hit the road instead, gas prices are slowly dropping but remain high. AAA says the average cost for you to fill up in Raleigh is $4.51 per gallon. In Wilmington, gas prices are about 2 cents higher at $4.53 a gallon. And if you're headed to the mountains, you'll pay an average of $4.62 if you're in Asheville. Folks, WRAL is here to help you find the lowest gas prices near you. Search fuel on WRAL.com or the news app to find the WRAL fuel tracker. It'll help you find the best deals on gas.
Well, as you head out, make sure to pack an umbrella and a rain jacket. An unsettled 7 days are in the forecast. Meteorologist Mike Mays is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center tracking storms in the next few days. Mike?
Deb, it's been a while since we've seen a 7-day forecast that has featured rain every day, and we've got that coming up, and that includes our holiday weekend. Now, the live Dill Doppler 5000 radar quieter today than it was yesterday. Little shower just south of Goldsboro right now, but over the next 4 days for our holiday weekend, it does feature showers and storms. Tomorrow, it's a 40% chance. 91 the forecast high. Out of all 4 days, I believe Saturday will be the day that will feature the fewest showers and storms. In fact, they may be closer to the coast. That means for most of us, the weather should be dry. 90 the high. Sunday, partly to mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and storms appear likely. 50% chance at that point. And then for the 4th of July, a 40% chance for scattered storms. Our high temperature about 92 degrees. As you head down to the coast and the mountains, the chances are pretty good there as well. We'll outline that forecast. Plus, coming up in less than 15 minutes, Deb, we'll take a look at what we expect around here tomorrow. The radar will probably be quite active tomorrow afternoon.
All right. Good to know. Thank you, Mike.
Bomb threats forced community colleges across North Carolina to evacuate students and staff. Sky 5 was over the scene of Durham Technical Community College this afternoon when a bomb threat was reported. Now, over the course of the afternoon, WRAL learned of other bomb threats at community colleges. This includes Edgecombe Community College, Martin Community College, Vance Granville Community College, Lenore Community College, and Wayne Community College. And a public information officer in that last college says they believe it is possible the call came from outside the United States. We're working to confirm that. The FBI is now investigating who is behind these threats.
Today, WREL learned the FBI raided a Fayetteville church. Agents executed a search warrant on June 23rd at the House of Prayer Christian Church on Hodge Street. An advocacy group that works closely with former church members is asking the Department of Veteran Affairs to investigate. Some of the allegations claim the church operates like a cult, deceiving the VA during inspections and targets veterans in order to access GI Bill funding, disability, and VA home loans. WREL's Eric Miller will have much more on this story tonight at 10 and 11.
Federal agents in South Carolina arrested a man in connection to a 17-year-old Fayetteville teen's murder. U.S. Marshals arrested 21-year-old Lamon Townsend near the state line in Bennettsville, South Carolina. The shooting happened back on May 13th along Yadkin Road. Now, police did not say whether the teen was shot while he was in the car or not, but police say the boy's identity will not be released.
Firefighters in Durham trying to figure out what caused a fire off of Potter Street. Hello, I'm Mark Boyle in the WREL Live Center. New right now at 7 o'clock, this photograph just into the Live Center to show us what it looks like out there. It's a large scene. It took about 40 firefighters or so to get those flames under control. There was one person that lives in the home. They were not home at the time of the fire, so no injuries right now. The cause still under investigation tonight. Back to you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mark. North Carolina native and longtime newspaper publisher Frank Daniels has passed away. Daniels died today at age 90. He served as the president and publisher of the News and Observer for decades and as a board chair member of the Associated Press. His son, Frank Daniels III, says his father passed away peacefully in his sleep.
It has never been less affordable to buy a home in Wake County. That's according to a new report many of you first read about on WREL TechWire. Matt Tallhelm has talked with the researchers behind that report and tells us why affordability is at a record low.
Affordability is plunging as mortgage rates and home prices rise. A new report from Adam Data shows Wake County is closing out the least affordable quarter for buyers since they started tracking affordability in 2005. Adam Data says monthly payments have gone up 40% to 50% in the last year. So to buy a median priced home right now in Wake County at $450,500 without breaking the bank, you'd have to make nearly $94,000 a year. Rick Sharga is with Adam Data.
The combination of rising home prices and rising interest rates makes your monthly mortgage payment somewhere between 40% and 50% higher than it was last year. And most of us didn't get a 40% or 50% raise in the last year.
And it's not just here in Wake County. Adam Data found that the average wage earner in Johnston, Durham, and Orange counties would not be able to afford a median priced home there either. Matt Tallhelm, WREL News, Raleigh.
Now, to give you an idea of how much higher monthly payments are as mortgages rise, on a $320,000 loan, the monthly payment 1 year ago with a rate just under 3% was about $1,700. At today's 6% rate, the payment for that same house is $573 more each month.
The East End Connector in Durham is now open. That road will be called I-885, and it's been in the works for years. It connects Highway 70 to the Durham Freeway. It serves as a new route from I-40 to I-85, bypassing downtown Durham and easing congestion there. At this morning's ribbon cutting, local leaders and DOT officials said the new road will improve quality of life and shorten drive times.
The Pinehurst Village Council will address the issue of unruly gatherings at rental properties that could result in paying hefty fines. The ordinance will include changes to prohibit overnight parking on residential streets and public urination or defecating. That will be fined. Other changes in the ordinance include unruly gatherings where the owner of the property could be fined $1,000.
The State House did not take up a measure that would overhaul the selection of members of the State Board of Education. The proposal would have put a constitutional amendment on the ballot that made the positions partisan and elected rather than appointed by the governor. The House sent it back to a committee. Senate leaders said they may not take up the issue, even if it did pass the House this week.
A brand new luxury movie theater opens tomorrow in Cary, and we've got a preview of what you can expect once you walk in. Paragon Theaters will have 7 movie screens, pod-style seating with heated reclining and zero-gravity chairs. There are also sofas in there, too. I just checked online. It's part of the nearly $1 billion Fenton development. Each seat has a QR code so you can order food, wine, and other concessions. The theater will have a full menu, a 100-foot indoor-outdoor bar with a fire pit and lounge area. The theater is offering tickets at $6 for a limited period of time as it opens. I just might watch Lightyear, this movie, there.
You may never leave, Chris.
Probably not.
Looks like a fun place. New tonight, a recall alert for pajamas your children could be wearing. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says these pajamas are being recalled because there's a risk of burn injuries to children. They're sold on Amazon. The commission says the pajamas failed to meet flammability standards. More lab results are in on the water at Jordan Lake. Earlier this week, we told you about a dog who died after a day on the lake this weekend. That prompted the state to test for toxic algae blooms. Lab results released today show there was not an elevated level of toxins in the lake when the samples were taken on Monday. State officials say there's always a risk of some level of bacteria in fresh water.
A North Carolina petition will take center stage when the Supreme Court reconvenes for its next term. Coming up, we'll have a live interview with an expert on what the implications could mean for future elections. And the High Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade will have significant impact on people of color. What experts cite as the reason, we'll tell you.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV. Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Big news today as the Supreme Court agreed to hear a case that could have implications on the 2024 presidential elections. The nation's highest court will hear a petition filed by North Carolina GOP lawmaker and House Speaker Tim Moore that arose out of the state's latest redistricting cycle. Joining us now live via Zoom is Dr. Michael Bitzer, the professor of politics and history at Catawba College. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Bitzer, because this can be very complicated, but as we said, this is very important. So GOP lawmakers are arguing that state courts do not have the power to reject redistricting maps. So what is the basis of that argument?
So this is a core constitutional question. It comes out of the U.S. Constitution. Article 1, Section 4 basically says that the times, places, and manner of holding congressional elections shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. And for, just to boil it down, the basic question is, does the legislature of a state have exclusive authority, no matter what questions the court, state court may bring in, to redraw congressional districts?
That sounds pretty cut and dry the way you just read it right from the Constitution.
Well, it words matter, as I teach my students in class, but the question becomes, does a state constitution have any jurisdiction over the state legislature, and does a separate branch of state government, say the state judiciary, have authority to oversee and make sure that the legislature is abiding by state constitutional rules? I think the big question is really, which is more supreme in its power, the U.S. Constitution, or what role do state constitutions have in governing the balance between a state legislature and state judiciary?
Because, Dr. Bitzer, there are some concerns that state legislatures will try to throw out results of presidential elections, for example. How likely, though, is that to happen?
Well, I wouldn't put anything past us in terms of the dynamics that we are in. We are in a hyper-polarized partisan environment. You know, if the will of the people is not respected, if state legislatures can override the will of the people ultimately, then that calls into question our democratic republic. I think that the questions that the court will have to seek to answer when they start their new term in October are those kinds of issues, and have to balance the concerns and the needs of states, of federalism, and ultimately of the U.S. Constitution.
I have just a few seconds left, but I want to ask you this, because we've been saying about this case could have implications for future elections across the country, not just North Carolina, right?
Most definitely. I think if the Supreme Court weighs in on this, this will be the law of the land, and this will have a major impact across the country coming out of this North Carolina case.
We'll be watching to see what happens in October. Dr. Bitzer, thank you so much for your time and your insight on this matter. The court will also hear a case against UNC Chapel Hill next term. It's one of a pair of cases challenging how colleges, public and private, consider race in college admissions. Challengers argue the practices hurt Asian American applicants.
Black women are five times more likely to have abortions than white women. And I'm getting this information from the latest CDC report done in 2019. The center cites health care disparities and access as the reason. WREL's Chelsea Donovan dug into this issue and what a team of local midwives are doing to change that.
While we don't have a ban in our state just yet, this Planned Parenthood in Raleigh is extending its hours, expanding its services, and training more clinicians, all to prepare for an influx of patients, many whom are dealing with racial disparities. In fact, black women make up 23% of the state's population, but about 49% of women who had abortions in North Carolina in 2020 were black. According to 2019 data from the CDC, black women are five times more likely to have abortions than white women, while Latina women are twice as likely. Maya Hart is the North Carolina rep for Sister Song, a reproductive justice rights group, and she believes access is already difficult for black women and could get even harder.
We have to consider the cost of the procedure. It's going to be harder to access for folks who don't make as much money, who have lower incomes. So that certainly includes black people and people of color. And then you also have to consider things like childcare.
Statistics also show that black women have higher rates of premature births as well as low birth rates. Chelsea Donovan, WREL News, Raleigh.
The professors and nurse midwives we talked to say black women are also more likely than white or Hispanic women to die from pregnancy complications, almost 67% of which are preventable.
Meteorologist Mike Mays is back in the WREL Severe Weather Center to talk about these showers and storms that are going to start really coming our way in the next few days. Yeah. Mike?
We've been hoping for rain, and over the next 7 days, every day features showers and storms. And we're calling it the unsettled South tonight because look at all the thunderstorms throughout the deep South, South Carolina as well, and this moisture showing signs of moving up to the north. And tomorrow afternoon and early evening, we should see those showers and storms here. So tomorrow morning on Futurecast at 8 a.m., partly cloudy skies, no repeat of the fog we had this morning. By lunchtime, very little going on, but you can't help but notice that activity to the south. That starts to build northward through the course of the afternoon, making its way over toward Fayetteville and Sampson County, maybe Goldsboro by 3 o'clock, continuing to make its way north by 5 o'clock, and then gradually weakening once it gets past the triangle. Now, for Saturday, we have a 30% chance for storms. I think that activity is going to be more confined to the coastal plain. So if you have outdoor plants here in the triangle north and west, I think you're going to be okay. I think you're going to be dry. Now, over the next 7 days, the Weather Prediction Center is showing quite a bit of rain across the state. They issue forecasts many times a day on a daily basis, and it's showing a big area of 2 to 3 inch totals in the coastal plain. Again, over the next 7 days here in the triangle, 1 to 1.5 inches, and off to the west in the mountains, a good deal of rain as well. That's good news if this does pan out, because we are deep in drought over the central and eastern part of the state, or at least I should say in the coastal plain, where there's moderate to severe drought ongoing. And here in the triangle, abnormally dry conditions are growing. We're not in a drought yet here in the Raleigh area. Heading down east to the coast, I don't want you to think it's going to be full sunshine and dry weather the entire weekend. Tomorrow features about a 50% chance for showers and thunderstorms from Atlantic Beach south toward Wilmington. I think the Nags Head area, 10% chance of rain. The mountains, the same thing. Scattered showers and storms. There will be rain around. It's not going to rain all day. 84 Boone, 86 at Lake Lure. And then on Saturday at the coast, it's not going to rain all day. Scattered showers and storms. But I don't want you to think it's going to be completely dry. 78 at Wrightsville Beach. Lesser chance of rain toward Nags Head. About 20% chance, 86. And the mountains on Saturday, a really good shot at showers and storms. 60 to 70% chance. 78 at Boone, 87 at Lake Lure. Sunday and Monday, both at the coast and the mountains, feature pretty good chances for showers and storms as well. So just make sure you have some rain gear and have indoor plans because you may need to use those. So our forecast tonight, dry. upper 60s to low 70s, 71 in Raleigh, 71 Fayetteville and Goldsboro. And then tomorrow, we'll watch thunderstorms developing in the southern part of the state in the morning, moving northward through the afternoon. That's why you see the numbers lower in the southern counties, because that's where the cloud cover and rain will build first and then make their way up to the north. And for Roxboro and South Hill, you may not see much in the way of thunderstorms tomorrow. That may not happen until Sunday for you guys. 7-day forecast. The next 7 days, we're in the 90s. We start July tomorrow. Normal highs about 90, so this isn't unusual, and it's not overly hot. What is interesting is the rain chances over the next 7 days, peaking on Sunday. Right now is a 50% chance. July 4th, 40% chance. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and next week, scattered showers and storms stick around as well. It's really good news. We're very, very dry, Deb, as you know.
We really are, and those of us who have been here a while remember the drought that we had. So hearing about rain is not to be maligned at all.
Not at all.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, so we get it. You're busy. You haven't made plans for the 4th of July yet. Don't worry. WREL's got you covered. Coming up, some of the cities and towns holding celebrations for the nation's birthday. We'll tell you all about it. And you can listen to this newscast as a podcast. The WREL News Daily Podcast features entire newscasts from beginning to end. Morning, noon, evening, and now the 7 p.m. newscasts are added to the podcast every day. You can find WREL News Daily in your Apple Podcast or wherever you listen.
The 4th of July is Monday and events are happening all weekend long, and WREL is your place to help you make your plans.
Yeah, don't worry. We got you covered. There are the fireworks across central North Carolina from Wake Forest to Chapel Hill to Clayton. We have an interactive map live right now on WREL's Out and About page. It highlights dozens of 4th of July festivals and fireworks shows planned across the triangle. Just go to WREL.com and search 4th of July. And during the fireworks shows, you will want to keep your pets calm. Here are a few suggestions from the Humane Society. Pets are more sensitive to noises and flashing lights, so it's best to keep them inside your home. You should also turn on the radio or your TV to lessen the loud noises. Also, make sure the information on your pet's ID tag is current just in case your dog or your cat gets lost. Yeah.
The new season of Stranger Things is dropping tomorrow, and you could see some familiar locations mentioned in the new season.
Yeah, so one of those locations mentioned in the new season is Mirkwood in Durham. Several other locations in the Triangle are also mentioned in the Netflix show. The creators of the show are North Carolina natives, the Duffer Brothers, if you didn't know their names, and they grew up right in Durham.
That's so cool.
All right, so if you're headed to the coast this weekend, you may have some company in the water.
Yeah, we checked in with OSearch and found a great white shark has been recently swimming in the waters off the coast of the Outer Banks, just south of the Virginia state line. Cabot is a 9-foot, 500-pound white shark tagged about 4 years ago, and he has once even adventured into the Pamlico River.
Ooh. All right, catch us again at 10 o'clock.
See you then.